Today on Real Radio.
There'll never be healing, there'll never be restoration, there'll never be success until we face the music. The cool thing is, in Christ, we can face the music and be done with it. And he removes it from us. And then he restores that which the moth has eaten and the rust has corroded. He restores. He's awesome.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. We're in a mini-series taken from chapters 13 through 16, where we learn about Samson. The name of this series is Staying Fit for the Master's Use. Now, we're not speaking of being physically fit, but spiritually and scripturally fit. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Okay, but do you see, does anybody recognize what's going on here? Exactly. Do you remember he's a Nazirite? Do you remember? And he's not supposed to cut his hair. His hair was an outward symbol of his devotion to God. So what happens? It happens in every life that begins to play with sin. It starts with something that's just absolutely silly and remote, and then it gets a little closer, and then a little closer, and look now. Now it's regarding the hair. It's getting too close. This is just like sin in our lives. It's getting too close. And he's allowing it. He's encouraging it. Dangerous. He's flirting with Satan in all of this. Hebrews chapters 3, verse 12 and 13 says, "Beware, brethren, lest by any of you have an evil heart of unbelief in thinking or departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." That word deceitfulness means to creep up on you, to prowl, to trick, to come up like a camouflage, covert, undercover. Sin does that, and it's doing it to him. Although I think it's pretty obvious what's going on with him. But he doesn't see it. Or he's thinking, I can handle this. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God, who is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able to bear it, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee," God says. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. That's an awesome verse. Run, God is saying. Get out of there. But he's toying with it. But the dangerous part is, see, don't you think really, if you were there interviewing Samson, now, what are you thinking, Samson? Probably what Paul just said in 1 Corinthians 10 applies perfectly. He probably thought he can handle this. I can deal with this. I got it. You guys, if anyone comes into your life and is tempting you, and you think that you can deal with that rather than flee, not good. Not a good thing. Because you begin to convince yourself, I'm okay with this. I can handle this. We're not going to do anything. You might tell your teenager, don't be alone with them in the dark. Don't be alone with anybody. Like, be in a group. Oh, Mom, I can handle it. I can take care of that. King David was a man after God's own heart. And if David couldn't handle it, you tell your teenager. You think the world of them. I just think the world of you. You're wonderful. But until you can write 150 psalms and bring me back the head of a giant, you're going out in a group. Right? I mean, think about it. Why should I trust my teenager when King David couldn't handle it? So, staying close to the Lord also means this, verses 14 to 15, it's this. It means that we've got to apply ourselves to good. We've got to apply ourselves. Church, what I'm about to say sounds really legalistic, and it's not. But I had to say that because it sounds like it. You guys, you've got to apply yourself to good or to do the good. You guys, we don't wake up in the morning, even though we're Christians, we're not robots. We are not going to automatically move to the good stuff. I wish it were like that. I wish I didn't have any choice all day long. I don't want to have choices anymore. I don't like them. I want God to just grab me by the nose and pull me in the direction he wants me to go. I wish he would do that. He doesn't do that, though. He wants me to wait and listen and talk to him. And right? Oh, just don't give me two paths. Just make it one. But we would never know his voice. But we've got to apply ourselves. You guys, there's a program on, and I'm going to probably ruin your mind forever, but there's a new program that's on, and I watched it the other day, and I died laughing. It's some spinoff of some Japanese program. And these guys, they were dressed up in Velcro. And they would run and hit on a trampoline and fly and hit a wall. And they would stick to the wall. And I thought, I would love to do that. That looks really cool. But here's the thing. They would run, and they would jump, and they'd go, and just stick in the air on this wall. They weren't going anywhere. Think of that. As a Christian, I want to run towards God's will, God's word, God's direction, God's path, and I want to be stuck on that path. Like Velcro. Like that program. Stuck to the robe of God. Not going anywhere. We tonight, as Christians, it sounds legalistic, but it shouldn't. It's too bad. It should be talked about all the time. We have got, now that we've been saved, he saved us, not by any works of righteousness are we going to get to heaven, but now because we are Christians, we've got to make every effort to draw near to God. And stay close to him. And if that means for your life or for my life that we cannot tolerate this in our home or this around us, listen, don't make fun of somebody who says, I can't go with you guys if you're going to go there because I used to be an alcoholic and I can't be near that. Maybe that's someone's problem. Don't make fun of them. They're being strong. That's a good thing. Don't make fun of them. If somebody says, I can't go do that. You know what? I've known some Christians who, after they became a Christian, they could not go to the beach anymore. It was stumbling for them because there were people there that were hardly dressed. They couldn't handle that. Don't make fun of them. Don't say, well, he's a weak brother. If he was strong like me, he could go anywhere, not be moved by any of this. Oh, brother. Don't make fun of people that, hey, they know their weaknesses. They stay away from that. Look, if you struggle with alcohol, then you don't go to a bar to get a drink of water. You're insane. You're a Samson is what you're doing. Okay, if you struggle with lust, you don't drive by some strip place. You're crazy. We have got to apply ourselves in drawing near to God. Samson didn't do it. And he ruined his life for that. Look at verse 14. Unbelievable. So she wove it tightly with the batten of the loom. Can you imagine? He's sleeping and she's tying the guy up. And then she says, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. She sounds like a broken record. But he awoke from his sleep and pulled out the batten of the web from the loom. Then she said to him, how can you say, I love you, when your heart is not with me? I mean, you're no fun to play with. Every time you get out of this stuff, I'm tying you up, and you get out every time. Don't tell me you love me anymore. Because if you love me, you'd let me tie you up and do whatever and have my countrymen come in and kill you and pluck out your eyeballs. Because that's what they're going to do, you know, in a couple of, they're going to pluck his eyeballs out of his head pretty soon. In fact, the word in the Hebrew means they burrowed. They didn't just pluck him out. Well, that's for some other, come back next week, but it's really bloody. They're going to dig down there with a stick and clean it all out. Eyeball, veins, just leave them shiny sockets there for him. It's amazing. How can you say that I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these three times and have not told me where your great strength lies. Samson is too close to the line now. Pastor, how? I know I'm a Christian, but how close can I get to that line? You ever hear people like that? I'm a Christian, but how close can I walk to the world? Again, love God, get away from the line. Why flirt with it? Don't be Samson now. Get away from the line. He's over the line. He's got, and remember this, it all started with him going down to the valley of the red grapes, the valley of wine. Remember, he wasn't supposed to go there. And remember his mom and dad said? Oh yeah, mom and dad, what'd they say? Mom and dad said, can't you have one of our girls from our own town? But you know, he was a Hebrew. He was a Jewish guy. He's supposed to be with Jewish girls. But no, he goes down into the realm, into the area of Philistia. And so, he's failing to apply himself to do good. And now he slips. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, test yourselves as Christians to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not know or recognize this about yourself, that Jesus is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? That's the New American Standard Version of the Bible. Test yourselves and examine yourselves to determine if you're really a Christian. Wow. That'd make you flee from the line, huh? I would think. In John 15, verses 1 through 4, this is how, by the way, you apply to good. Jesus said, I am the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it. That's cutting it back. That may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me. The word abide means take up your full-time residence with me. Jesus is saying, live with me. In your life, let's live together. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words, the Bible, abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Samson has always walked too close to the line since we began examining his life. A Delilah is going to take him down. And then staying close to the Lord means that we do as he has commanded us. Verse 16, and it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart and said to her, no razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Is that not the saddest thing you've ever heard? This is unbelievable. She's pestering him, and she's pressing him. Nagging and nagging and nagging. He can't take it. And he looked at Caesar, he wished he was dead. Somebody kill me. Say, well, Samson, you got yourself into this situation here. Isn't that just how it is? Playing, toying, gets in this situation. And now, who knows, it doesn't say how long, pestering, pressuring, nagging, whining, Sammy, come on. Just nonstop. Drip, drip, drip. And his soul was vexed to death. You know what that means? He was so depressed. I wish somebody would kill me. So he just gives up. He surrenders. And he tells her what the Bible had warned about in Numbers chapter 6 regarding a Nazirite. The vow is empowered by God until the violation of the vow. You violate the vow, it's over. God says, you cut the hair, it's done. Why? Because the head of the Nazirite was dedicated to God, and the symbol of that dedication was the man's hair. Interesting, huh? Uncut. And the Lord had commanded, but he had violated the word of God. And now he comes to the part where he's desensitized. That's a dangerous place to be. He's desensitized. Now he's like, I don't even care if I live anymore. Go ahead and cut my hair. I don't care. He's desensitized. He's worn out. When you're desensitized, you don't feel anymore. You're calloused. And finally here, look at verses 19 to 20. Staying close to the Lord means that we can enjoy the ride with him until the finish. And unfortunately, Samson doesn't do that. Look, then she lulled him to sleep on her knees. The word lull here in Hebrew is she eased him down. She slipped him down into a sleep and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him and his strength left him. And she said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. Like Mighty Mouse. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. And I thought about this, and we'll end with this. You guys, you can't blame God, can you? Who's the weakest link in all of this? Is it God? No. Is the weakest link evil? No. Evil's doing what evil does. The weakest link is Samson. And that's you and I too. The mess we've gotten ourselves into, we try to say, I don't know why God allowed this to happen to me. I don't know why God did this to me. Stop it right there. Stop blaming God for your absolute mess up. You did it. Face the music. God had nothing to do with it. Well, Satan really tore into my life. How do you know it was Satan? Well, look how bad it all turned out. Doesn't mean it was Satan, and it doesn't mean it was God either. Well, who else could be responsible for the mess in my life? There'll never be healing, there'll never be restoration, there'll never be success until we face the music. The cool thing is, in Christ, we can face the music and be done with it. And he removes it from us. And then he restores that which the moth has eaten and the rust has corroded. He restores. He's awesome. And so, tragically, Samson is destroyed. But we don't have to be like that. Christian, we end with this. God invited you and I to make a vow. Did you know that? He invited you and I. First of all, he made us innumerable vows in the Bible. It's the Bible. He's given us all these promises, okay? He invites us to make one vow. And that is, in fact, it's exactly the vow that... Remember when Isaac was sitting in the field and Eleazar was dispatched by Abraham to go into a distant country and find Isaac a wife? Remember that? And so Eleazar goes with his caravan of goodies. He's got all these gifts and all these treasures. He finds who? Rebecca. And he invites her to come and meet his master's son, Isaac. And she, amazingly, there's no chat, room, MySpace, digital photos. There's no pictures. Rebecca could have said, well, what's he look like? You know, is he tall, short? Is he, what is he? She agrees to go with a stranger, to go marry a stranger. And when she gets there, the Bible says that Rebecca jumped off of her camel. She runs to meet Isaac. Isaac arises. He's sitting in the field. He rises. He meets her. It says that he then takes her to his mother's home. Now, Sarah had died by this time. He takes her, and it says that Rebecca became his wife. Now, what I'm about to tell you is not in the Bible, but it's in Jewish history. That when Rebecca met Isaac, now listen, Isaac, for her to become the wife, he would have said to her, I make you these promises. I give you these vows. I will provide for you. I will take care of you. I will defend you. I will give you life. I blah, 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 blah. All these promises. Isaac gives all these promises. And Rebecca was to do one of two things. She could either lift her cup. Lifting a cup was, I agree. Or she would say, yes. In Hebrew, it's ken. Ken. That's all she had to do. She didn't have to make any promises back. You know how we do weddings today? He promises, she promises, and they've got the vows. Not in Bible times. The husband makes all the promises, and all she does is agree. Okay. And he fulfills the promises. You know what's cool? You know that very well, don't you? You want to know why? The church is the bride of Christ. We're engaged to Jesus. He has given us great and precious promises. What were we supposed to do with all those promises? Okay. That's all we're supposed to say is, all right, sounds good to me. Here's the cup. Ken, yes, let's go. You just agree. You agree. And it's settled. The vow. Samson has broken his vows with his God. He, in a sense, gambled them away. It's tragic. You and I, tonight, we need to stay true to our vow to God, which was yes. Can you say yes tonight?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Staying Fit for the Master's Use. It's actually a mini-series taken from chapters 13 through 16 of the Old Testament book of Judges. Now, we wish to bring to your attention two things. First, this series, Staying Fit for the Master's Use, is now available on DVD. Staying Fit for the Master's Use on DVD is yours for a gift of any size to the work of Real Radio. To learn more, you can pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Second, we'd like to hear from you. You know, it doesn't take much just to send us an email letting us know how Real Radio is contributing to your growth as a believer. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and click where it says Send Us a Message. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like to send in that contribution and receive Pastor Jack's Staying Fit for the Master's Use on DVD, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.